Hey everyone, welcome. I have a word of encouragement today, and I don't know who it's for, but hopefully it's for you. I was thinking the other day and just reflecting, as I have been on this journey, I'm now closer to 40 than I am to 30. I'm 37. And in my journey of just getting older and embracing age and hopefully gaining wisdom and knowledge, and just maturing in my relationship with God and my walk and my emotions and all the things, I've been doing a lot of reflecting back on my younger years when I was single, when I was, a young woman. It's so funny to say that because I still feel young, but when I truly was in my late teens, my early 20s, really going into all my 20s. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a movie called The Holiday. And there is a scene where Kate Winslet's character is sitting down with her neighbor who was a writer. I think he was a writer, but anyways, big wig in old Hollywood. And they're sitting down and she is sharing her story of heartbreak. There's a guy that she's in love with who is not in love with her. He's mistreating her, and just not valuing her. And she's sitting there just sharing her heart. And he looks at her with such kind eyes and a smile. And he says, in something to the effect of, in the movie business, there are leading ladies and there's the best friend. You're acting like the best friend, but you're a leading lady. And she's like, oh, I've been going to therapy for years and no one has explained it to me like that. Of course you're supposed to be the leading lady of your own life. And I remember when that movie came out, I saw that and I heard that line and it had a profound effect on me because I realized so clearly in that moment, and it took quite a while for me to get out of it, but that I was playing the best friend in my own life. I was running from the movie that God wanted to, you know, use me in, not literally, but the movie of my life. I was running away from the role that he had cast me in, which is the role of Brittany. There is no one created like me. I am unique individual. He has callings, talents, giftings that only I have. And he has a unique plan and purpose for my life, and that is the same for all of you. He has such a unique, special purpose and plan and calling and story to tell through your life and through your lens. And I definitely had a history of running from that. And so I was praying about it the other day and I was like, wow, God, I've really come a long way. Thank you so much for like not giving up on me and working in my life. And I think we're all kind of familiar with the way the movies work in a way, even if you're not an actor or producer, like you kind of get the gist of it, right? You get cast for a role, you have auditions, there's a director, there's producers, you go to set, you build something, whatever it is. We kind of all know more or less, the broad idea of what it takes to make a movie or to make television. And God really speaks to me a lot in pictures and in visions. I have a very vivid imagination. I have since I was a child. So I really see things very just detailed in my mind's eye. And I just felt so strongly the other day and I've been praying about it. And I really feel like that's why I'm sitting here sharing this with you guys, because I feel like someone needs this word of encouragement. If God is the director of this movie, of this story, and he is on set in the director's chair, and you are cast as the leading lady of a story he wants to tell through you, that will bring people closer to him, that will be fulfilling for you, that will bring joy and hope, and he's on set and he's saying, action, and no one's there. The leading lady isn't there. You're not there. And this is for men too, but I really strongly feel like this is for my girls. This is for my ladies, no matter what age you are. I want to ask you, are you hiding? Are you hiding from the story that God wants to tell through you? Are you hiding from what he wants to use in you and through you to further his kingdom? And where are you hiding? And I was praying and I was like, okay, Lord, like where was I hiding? And where are other people hiding? And he gave me three distinct areas. So I don't know if any of these three are you, only you know that. But the first one was, God is on set and he's calling action or waiting for you to show up, and you're in your dressing room. You know the role that God wants you to play. You've been cast for it, you know it in your soul, whether it's a job, whether it is a specific, you know, role in your household, whatever it is, you know what you're to do, but you're hiding in your dressing room and you have stage fright and you're scared and you're like, I don't know if I'm worthy of it. I don't know if I can measure up. I don't think I can do this. My encouragement to you is that you've already been cast. The only way you're going to get fired or not be able to do it is if you just don't show up. In the movie business and whatnot, they will call and be like, hey, is so-and-so available? We want to book them. And then your agents will say, yeah, they're available for these dates. And then you show up, the role is yours. Sometimes you have an audition process, but sometimes they just offer you the role. So there's different ways, but once you're on set, the audition process is over. The role is yours. The paycheck is yours. The dressing room, like all of that is already yours. You just have to show up and just do your job. And in the beauty of movies, which I think is so similar to God, and yes, we have free will, but the same kind of thing is you're not showing up knowing, like having no idea what to do. And sometimes in life we feel like, oh, we don't know what to do, but God always will show you. He'll prepare your heart. He'll guide you. And it says in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And I think often we get so afraid and paralyzed in our dressing room, so to speak, in the dressing room of life or in our closet. We're so afraid to come out because we're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what. And if we would just calm down and show up, God would hand us a script. You know what I mean? He will show us what we're to do. And I just think that whoever you are who's hiding in the dressing room, but you know what you're supposed to be doing, just show up. Walk out on set and trust that God is going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you because you already have the role. He's already chosen you. He's equipped you. You have got this. You're the only person in your own way. And the only way that you're not going to get this, that you're going to get fired, is if you simply don't show up. Because the thing with God is that it is such an honor that he uses us to tell the stories he wants to tell, to reach the people he wants to reach, to further his kingdom, to bring heaven to earth. But the other thing is, if we refuse, if we don't show up, he is still God, and his mission and his vision will still prevail. If we decide we're opting out and we don't want a part of it, he will pick someone else. And so I just want to encourage anyone who know what you're supposed to do, start the podcast, start the blog, start the YouTube channel, whatever it is that you are supposed to do. And maybe it's preaching the gospel. Maybe it's sharing your testimony. Maybe it's something completely unrelated to ministry, but God wants to use you in that space. Maybe it's tech, maybe it's review video, whatever it is, only you know what it is. You have to show up and take that step of faith and just do it. And he's with you every step of the way, and he's going to lead you and guide you. The second type of person, and this is what I did a lot. I did all of them, I feel like. But the second one is often, and you've probably heard of this, in the movies, in TV, you have background actors. And so they're not the focal point. They're just fillers. They're just kind of there to fill the space. Sometimes you might get a like special background where you're featured background, where you'll like be the waitress in a scene and you'll walk up to the table where the two main characters are and you'll set it down and you'll get a little camera time, you know? But for the most part, background, they're not gonna steal focus. Their whole point is to fill it in. If you had no one there, it would look awkward. So you're there to support the story being told. You're there to support the main characters, the main actors that are telling this story. And is there anything wrong with that? No. In a healthy way, we all kind of play background in each other's stories. I don't like even the word background. It's kind of more like guest stars. Like I was talking to Kellen about this because he is in the movie business, obviously. And we were talking about how, you know, there are seasons for guest stars. Like you will have a guest star role in someone else's life and in someone else's story. But then I was thinking it really is more of a crossover than a guest star, because he has you at the center of, you know, the story he's trying to tell through you with your giftings, your talents, your callings. And sometimes he'll call you in, or for example, in a marriage, Kellen is doing the thing that God is telling him to do. I'm doing the thing God is telling me to do. He has brought us together. So now our stories have collided, our you know, shows, so to speak. I hope if you're visual like me, you're getting this. If you're not, you're probably like, what the heck? And maybe this isn't for you. But for those of you who think like me and God speaks to you like me, I hope you understand this, but God brought us together. And so we overlap. So I'll jump in and I'll be the supporting character. I'll be the, you know, the best friend or whatever in his role and vice versa. But God never has taken me out of the role he has for me. And so often growing up, I would see what he was doing in someone else's life and I would just hop in the background of their life because I didn't like the way my story was unfolding. It was uncomfortable. And so I disappeared into someone else's movie. I disappeared into someone else's story. And I was like, I'll just support them. And the thing with being a background actor, 99.999% of background actors are dreaming of the lead role. They're not just content sitting at a table making $100 a day. Most people are like, I'm doing this now, but my dream is to be the lead. My dream is to get up to that point. I hope that the director or someone sees something in me, even being on set now, and promotes me to a bigger role or gives me a couple lines. Most background actors, that's how they feel. The thing with background is that you do make a little bit of money, and sometimes it's more than minimum wage. It just depends on how the rate and how it all works out. So sometimes it's just enough to keep you there, to keep you from trying to dream for more or desiring more, because you're like, well, it's something. And that's where I was a lot of the time, where when I reflect back and I look at where I was, my goodness, especially I'm like, it's good enough. It's enough. It's sustaining me enough. But the problem was, it wasn't enough. God had more for me. And there was something always nagging in me like, gosh, you know, I really feel like here I've given up my whole life and my whole world to disappear into this person's world and support them and cheer them on and encourage them. But there wasn't that reciprocal thing. But if I can, you know, in the defense of the person that I was with, they didn't have anything to cheer me on in because I was not showing up in my own life and my own story for them to have anything to cheer me on in. Now, some people are very, they're toxic relationships. Let's be honest. They're narcissistic and they just want you for themselves. Nothing is ever good enough. The goalpost keeps moving. That is so not God's will for your life. I just flat out, it is not. If you're with someone who's like, oh, I have brokenness in my past, I was cheated on, this and that, if you just let me see your phone, I will then feel comfortable. And you're like, okay, I have nothing to hide. That's unhealthy. That is toxic. If someone needs something as they're working through to wholeness to just help them, and you feel like God is saying, yes, you can do that, you can support them in that way, you can be transparent in that way, that's one thing. If someone needs that from you to feel secure, that's just red flag. It's going to end horribly because once you give them that, they're going to all of a sudden, the thing is, they're in bondage. They might not be a bad person, but they are in bondage to something that happened to them that you have no responsibility for. And it's their responsibility to get healing and to get wholeness from that so that you can enter into a healthy relationship with that person. That doesn't mean we don't have struggles or moments that we can come to our person and say, hey, I know you had nothing to do with this, but I'm really feeling insecure today. I'm feeling this. And then that person who loves us, they're like, hey, what can I do? Let me speak life into you. Let me pray over you. But it is not fair to continue on either side to live in bondage and then expect the other person to navigate and manage our bondage. The way I love it is, you know, trigger is a huge word right now. And Kellen and I were talking about it in the beginning of our relationship. And it's like, because we love one another, we're interested in what triggers the other person, where those pain points are, where those scars are, and where those wounds are. And because we love one another, we're not going to purposely, because I love Kellen, I'm not going to purposely push those. That is what I can control. What he can control is the healing over those wounds. When you're with someone who has so many wounds and so many triggers where you can't even step without, that's not a way to live. And that's not the life God has for either of us. You know, God wants everyone to be healed, and in him there is healing. And so anyways, being background in someone else's life, you are abdicating from your own role, from your own life, from your own story. And again, I'm using the word you a lot, but I hope you can understand where I'm coming from, where if you truly have a relationship with God, you know it's not about you. It's about God. It's about others. But for me, I'm speaking to the people who once were where I was, where I just felt so inadequate. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel valuable. I just didn't, like, what can God use me for? I'm just going to hide over here. And God's like, Brittany, you, I'm calling you. you're a leading lady. You're acting like the best friend, but I'm going to need you to come over here. Come on, like, please, I'm giving you time. I'm giving you time. Please come. He was always drawing me in and I could feel it. And it is up to us. That's where the free will comes into play. God is drawing us. We get to decide whether we respond to that or not. And then the last person, the last form of background, if you will, or the last form in this little analogy he gave me was, so there's the leading lady, right? And then there's hiding in the dressing room. You know what God's called you to do, but you just are afraid to show up and claim it. And I'm encouraging you to do so. There's hiding in the background of someone else's life. I'll just support that leading person and I won't show up to my own thing. God has more for you. He has more for you. It's okay to support someone. I'm not telling you not to, but what I'm saying is that in God's world, you can support someone and he can still work through you. It's not just about the person you're supporting. And then the last thing is when you're running and hiding so much that there's another form of background where if you need, let's just say 1,000 people, or we used to do it in Santa Monica, where we would gather some people. They didn't get paid anything. We would kind of try to formulate the sentence like, oh, do you want to be on TV for a second? They weren't really on TV. They were in the background, but they didn't get paid anything. So they are giving us their time, their energy, their attention, and getting nothing in return. And so I really believe that there are some of you out there that God is calling action on the set that is your life, that he has for you to live, and the story he wants you to tell, and the way he wants to work through you. And you are for free. There is no benefit to you living in this other world, far in the background. Think of I'm trying to think of one of those crazy shows. I didn't watch it, but you know, like a Game of Thrones where there's thousands of extras, or the war movies, or I'm trying to think of movies with tons of extras and tons of people. You don't see those people. I mean, it's not to be rude, but they don't matter as far as a character. As a collective group, they matter because it would be awkward if they weren't there. They represent kind of a whole thing. But as an individual, you could replace them with literally anyone. There is nothing special about any of those people. And I think so many of us, sometimes we feel like there's nothing special about us. There's nothing worthy about us. There's nothing valuable about us. So we just slip in the background. We don't get anything for our time, our energy, our efforts, because our value is so low and so diminished. And I am here to encourage you and to tell you that God sees you and he has more for you. He wants to heal your heart of that brokenness. He wants to heal your heart of the wounds that tell you that you're not valuable, that you're not worthy, that no, you know, you shouldn't be visible. You did X, Y, and Z, or you didn't do this. You don't matter. You're not as talented as she is. The reason why she's in a public place and elevated on a platform is because she has better style than you, or she's skinnier than you, or she's more confident than you. All of those things are lies from the pit of hell. And I want to encourage you to get with God and ask him what he has for your life. I'm sure this is a verse that we have all heard. It's my life verse. I love it so much. But Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to read 29:11 and 12 and 13. So it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Some translations say, "I know the plans I have for you." This is the New King James. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And something in this, you guys, I learned this in my own journey. Like it says here, I would always stick with Jeremiah 29:11. "God, you know the plans that you have for me, thoughts that are going to prosper me. They're not of evil. You're going to give me hope and a future." And then it stopped. But after that, it's great. Believe in that verse. But please don't forget 12 and 13, because this is where our call to action is, so that verse 11 can be manifest in our life, which is, "Then you will call upon me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you." So when you go to God and you say, I know you have plans for me, and that's where it ends. Okay, how are you going to know what the plans God has for you are unless you go and you seek him and you talk to him and you pray to him? So my encouragement to you is pray, get with God. And it says, "And then you will seek me and find me when you search for him with all your heart." When we search for God with all of our heart, he reveals the places in our heart that have either been broken, that are with someone else, that we gave away to someone we shouldn't have or to a thing we shouldn't have. There is something so powerful about going to God and seeking Him with your whole heart. And what does that look like practically? Literally, I'll sit down in the quiet and I will put on worship music, or I'll get on my knees and I will just have a posture and try to stir myself up and be like, Lord, with my whole heart, I am seeking You. And I will leave space for God to reveal things to me that are blocking me from getting to Him. And in the past, like I said, playing background in someone else's life and in someone else's story, there were many times when God showed me, hey, you have a soul tie with that person, or you have a connection with that. You gave a piece of yourself to that person that they couldn't steward and they never should have had. I want you to collect that back. I'm going to help you get that piece back. And it doesn't have anything to do with going to the person, hey, give me my heart. No, no, no. It's not weird like that. God is God for a reason. He can restore what the enemy stole. So if you were abused, if something was taken from you, your innocence, if you were, you know, molested or anything like that as a child, something was stolen from you. You didn't give it to that person. That was taken from you. The beauty is God can restore that. He can take that piece back that that person stole and what the enemy stole from you, and He can make you whole again. In my instance, it was a little bit of a combination of both, where something was done to me and I willingly gave something else away. And I had to go back and collect those pieces of my heart. I had to go back and collect those pieces of my value and my worth, because what that did is it weakened me. If I view my soul or whatnot as like a tower, some of those, like a Jenga tower, I mean, I was barely holding on. I gave some of the base foundation pieces away to people that never, ever, ever should have had them. That's the beauty about marrying someone who shares your values, that you can chase God with together. Because as much as I gave Kellen a piece of myself, what it was is we became one. So our foundation got stronger. He didn't take a piece and he's running around and I'm like trying to balance, if that makes sense. We came together and now we're a stronger pillar with God at the center, if that makes sense. So anyways, I don't know if this blessed you. I hope it did. At least one of you. That's all that I care about. But I just am going to be praying for you guys, especially those of you girls who are in relationships where you're not appreciated, with your relationship with a little boy, not a man. If you're in a marriage, that's the hardest, because I'm not ever saying like you should leave unless you're being abused. That's not God's will. That's not God's will for your life. And I don't know if I can remember it, but the other day I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about abuse or they're talking about divorce and what the grounds are. And so often in Christianity, it's like, if someone cheated on you in the physical sense, that is the only grounds for divorce, but everything else is fine. And there's no biblical grounds for just that. There's actually biblical grounds for, they called it the four A's, and they said that, I think it was Paul brought all of them up, and I'm gonna try to remember, but obviously adultery, abuse, addiction, and abandonment. Those four are all, that's all abuse, you know? Like if someone cheats on you, that's not God's will. If someone is abusing you in any way, that's not God's will. If someone abandons you and they just completely check out, that's not God's will for you. And of course, addiction, that person is serving another master. They're not serving God with you. So I'm not telling you to go get, you know, divorced or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, I feel like too often we have found excuses to stay in toxic situations, especially as Christians. Well, he's a Christian guy. Well, where's the fruit? And for my single girls, do not settle. Do not settle. All right. I could keep going, but I'm going to stop. So anyways, I love you guys. I'm praying for you, and I'll see you next time.